We turn to Proverbs 31 this morning. Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10 and reading to the end of the chapter. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We read thus far the divinely inspired scriptures this morning. The text for the sermon is Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, picture now two houses being built side by side at the end of a street in a cul-de-sac. 7 a.m. in the morning, a truck pulls up to one house and a woman gets out. She straps on her nail bag, puts her hammer in the holster, grabs her lunchbox, and goes into the house to build. She's a wise woman. At the same time, right next door, another truck pulls up to the other house and a woman gets out, gets her nail bag and hammer in her lunchbox, and goes into the home. She's a foolish woman. The wise woman climbs up on the roof and starts putting down the sheeting and starts shingling so that she can seal up and protect the home from the elements. While next door, the foolish woman climbs up on the roof and She starts ripping off the shingles that were put on the day before, and because she gets a bang out of using an electric saw, she starts cutting holes in the sheeting. The next day, they both come back to their houses. The wise woman goes into the house and she starts installing all of the windows to seal up and protect the house. The foolish woman goes into her house where the windows have recently been installed, and she takes them all out, brings them out in front of the house, lines them up in front of the garage, snaps a picture, posts it on the internet. It's a sale. Throughout the day, people come and they start buying the windows. She puts the cash in her pocket so that after work she can go gambling. The next day, they both come back to work. The wise woman goes into the house and she starts building a railing in the second story balcony above the great room, thinking about the children who may live in the house and making sure it's sturdy and strong. While next door, the foolish woman goes into the house where the railing has recently been assembled, and she takes it all down, having some idea in her mind that she can use it for some landscaping project in the back, but not thinking about any children who may live there one day. Two women. Two houses. One house is being built, and the other house is being plucked down with the hands. One woman is wise. The other woman is foolish. Solomon says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Of course, Solomon is not talking about an activity of building that requires nothing more than a nail bag and a hammer and saws and all the rest. And Solomon is not advocating that the women go out and get a job in construction and literally start building houses. And Solomon is not exposing as foolish merely a woman who literally takes down physical houses with her hands. He's pointing to a spiritual truth in the covenant of grace. He's using the same language that Jesus will use later on, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And there's a point to all of it. The wise are those who do what I say. There's a figure here, and there's a point to it. The spiritual truth for life in God's covenant is that the wise woman builds her house for the glory of God and in the service of Jesus Christ and for the spiritual well-being of all those in her home. She builds the covenantal dwelling place that is her house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The theme for the sermon this morning is the wise woman building her house. That phrase, building her house, is the text's description of the wise woman. Let's notice three things. First, her building. Second, her wisdom. And third, her house. The text reveals to us what makes a woman wise. The wise woman will be busily engaged in some activity, and it is the activity of building her house. The text does not command women to build houses. The text is not an exhortation. Woman, if you will be wise, build your house. The text is a statement of fact. This is the truth. Every wise woman builds her house. That's the way it is. It is a fact. A house here is not simply a physical structure, but it is a covenantal dwelling place where ordinarily a woman will live with her husband and her children. The temple that this man Solomon built was the house of God. And it wasn't simply a physical structure, but it was a covenantal dwelling place where God could commune and have fellowship with his people. And so also the home. The woman's home is not simply a physical structure, it's a covenantal dwelling place. And ordinarily, not always, but ordinarily, a woman in the home lives there with her husband. and her children. And there's relationships between husband and wife and parents and children. And all having a relationship with Jehovah God, a covenantal dwelling place. According to the sacred scriptures, and this text included, the place of the woman as a mother and as a wife is in that home. Without any in any way denying male headship and the oversight and responsibility and authority of the male, Solomon speaks of the house as being the woman's. He does not say that every wise woman buildeth her husband's house, or every wise woman buildeth her family's house, or every wise woman buildeth the house, but every wise woman buildeth her house. So much is it the case that the woman's calling is in the home that the scripture even calls the house her house. Furthermore, her calling is to build that house. That implies she will be in the house. She will be at home, for she cannot build her home outside of the home any more than a builder can build a house when he's never on site. That her calling is to build the home indicates her calling is to be in the home and at home. It's no surprise then when we go to the New Testament and the Apostle Paul is found instructing Titus that he has to set things in order in the church on the island of Crete. Set things in order. And he will do that by preaching the Christian life, which arises out of sound doctrine. And that includes instructing the aged women to teach the young women, Titus 2 verse 5, to be keepers at home. The scripture makes clear the calling of the woman as wife and mother is in the home. But that's not the important instruction of this text. Every wise woman buildeth her house. A foolish woman can be in the house. A foolish woman could be at home. A foolish woman can shout louder than anyone, it's the calling of the woman to be in the home. That doesn't make her wise. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That's the word of the inspired Solomon. She builds. Building refers to all of the wise woman's activity that causes the home to grow and prosper materially and spiritually. While plucking down, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands, refers to all of the woman's activity in the home that brings material and spiritual ruin and deterioration to the home. Building is positive, there's growth. Plucking down is negative. There's deterioration. A wise woman doesn't simply manage the home, even as a builder doesn't simply manage the home. He builds it. There's growth. And a foolish woman doesn't simply do that which has no effect upon the home or no good effect upon the house. She brings it down. There's ruin and deterioration. And so high is the accountability of the woman in the text that Solomon states, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands, her own hands. It's not simply that she brings the house down from afar or in some indirect way, but with her own hands, the foolish woman takes down the house. While then the wise woman, with her heart and her very hands, builds her house. The activity of building includes all those activities related to the common earthly existence of the home. Her building often includes, but is not limited to, such activities as planning meals, buying food, preparing food, serving food, cleaning up after meals, cleaning the house, organizing the house, buying supplies for the house, washing clothes, folding clothes, ironing clothes, shopping for clothes, getting the mail, perhaps organizing various paperwork, scouring for bargains, dressing children, bathing children, getting children ready for school, disciplining children, teaching children, helping children with their homework, playing with children, reading to children, comforting children, doing first aid to children, arranging and going to dentist and doctor visits, entertaining guests, preparing to entertain guests, driving for activities perhaps involving music or athletics or school events, putting children to bed, and sometimes all of this while sick. And the list goes on and on and on. The woman who's wise and builds in the home works. But her building of the home also and especially includes all of those activities related to the spiritual well-being of the home, which makes it a covenant home. She doesn't simply live in the home, but she lives as an example of Jesus Christ in her words and in her attitudes and in her behavior. She's a reflection of Christ in the home. She doesn't simply see that the home prospers materially, but that it prospers and grows spiritually so that God is in the home. The fear of God is taught. The rules of God's word are applied. The knowledge of God is understood. The love of God is shown. The chastisement of God is learned. The covenant of God is manifested in all of the relationships with woman, man, and children, and in their relationships to that covenant God. God is in the home. And in all these ways, as she works with her hands and her heart, the home is built up as man, woman, and child, and all of the children grow towards God. She buildeth her home. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That, in a very general way, is her building. To become more specific, we need to take a closer look at the foolish woman, and that will help us understand how the wise woman builds. First of all, a wise woman builds her house by plucking down her old man of sin. The foolish woman plucks down her house by satisfying her carnal, fleshly appetites and getting her hands into sin and thus bringing the home into disarray. And maybe the appetites require money and lots of money, so they're spending and spending and spending so that the home even falls into financial ruin by refusing to mortify the flesh and crucify carnal desires. A foolish woman lays her hands upon her home and she tears it down. We have to know that to see what the wise woman does. The wise woman is determined by the grace of God in her heart to crucify her sinful flesh, to pluck down that old man of sin. And the more she denies herself, the more she builds up her home unto God. So that, first of all, the wise woman builds by plucking down her old man of sin. Secondly, a wise woman builds her home by verbally building up other homes. The foolish woman plucks down her house by using her tongue to pluck down other houses, other homes, and other women, always criticizing others. And as she does that, as she pulls down other houses with her tongue, the result is that she's using her hands to pull down her own house because she's fostering in her children a kind of insecurity so that they feel the only way to be secure is to criticize others. And she fosters a self-righteousness in her children and by that very act brings down the home. The wise woman, she uses her tongue to build up other homes and other women, and that fosters a good attitude among her own children. And her own children look at her and they know and understand, when my mother sings. Psalter number 27, stanza 2. She sings it from the heart. I know it. I love thy saints who fear thy name and walk as in thy sight. They are the excellent of earth. In them is my delight. And by that use of her tongue, she builds up her house with her hands. Thirdly, the wise woman builds her home by busying herself in the work. The foolish woman always says no to white, to wheat, and to rye, because her bread of choice is the bread of idleness. Proverbs 31, verse 27. That's her favorite bread. Idleness. Idleness is not rest. Idleness is doing nothing of worth. Rest is worthwhile. Praying, meditating, contemplating, recharging is worthwhile. Idleness is not worthwhile. Idleness is doing nothing of worth. Opportunities to get some important projects done, or to have some devotional reading, or to be engaged and connected with the children or with the husband, those opportunities are lost because the foolish woman is idle and doing that which doesn't profit. And 1 Timothy 5, verse 13 indicates that when the woman is idle, pretty soon she starts tattling, and then she's a busybody going from house to house and speaking what she ought not. The wise woman always says no to the bread of idleness. She's not idle. She works in the home and busies herself. One almost gets tired when reading Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman was so busy for the sake of her home in work. She busies herself in the work of the home, thus building her house. Fourth, the wise woman builds her house by loving her husband. A foolish woman does not love and respect her husband. A wise woman loves and honors her husband. What better thing could any woman do for the sake of her home than love her husband? The wise woman builds her house by loving her husband. Fifth and finally, the wise woman builds her home by making sure she is home. Suppose we could have started here because it's most basic, but instead we end here. The home must be built, and so the wise woman makes sure she's home. Now, that's not to be taken in the absolute sense. Let's understand, and let's not misunderstand. A covenant home is never isolated, all by itself, all alone. A covenant home is always organically connected to other homes in the formation of a church, so that there will then be the organic life of the church, all kinds of activities in and for the organic life of the church. And the woman will go out of the home to participate in and to enjoy and to work for and serve the organic life of the church. The main point is the wise woman will make sure she's home. But that's not to be misunderstood as taken in the absolute sense of the word, as if the wise woman never leaves her home. Of course she does. How would there be the communion of saints and the organic life of the church if every single woman stayed home and never left the home? The church would fall into disarray. The wise woman makes sure she's home. The qualification is, that's not to be taken in the absolute sense. The main point is, though, the wise woman makes sure she's home. A woman can so run herself ragged and even burn herself out in good works out of the home that she starts tearing down her own house with her hands. And we're not legalists, God forbid, and we're not going to get a catalog and start writing laws and rules, and Article 8 is, a wise woman must be home X amount of hours a day and then go around checking up on every home to make sure every woman's home, that every home is different. And every home has different needs and demands. And every woman is different. And every woman has different abilities. The wise woman always recognizes this. I need a sufficient amount of time to be home. Because every wise woman buildeth her house. Furthermore, a foolish woman might be so busy outside of the home, running all over the place on behalf of legitimate, but not necessary activities, legitimate, but not necessary, that over the course of time she plucks down her home. The wise woman says, I'm called to build my house. I must make sure I have sufficient time to be home. The wise woman, she plucks down her old man of sin. She builds up other homes with her tongue. She busies herself in the work. She loves her husband. She makes sure she's home. That is the building of the wise woman. You know, the same thing is true in connection with that last point. The same thing is true with the builder. Let's say the builder is self-employed. He has no employees. He works all by himself. And he goes to a job and he starts building a house. The only way that house will be built if he stays on site and starts building, he has to be there. The fact of the matter is, though, is that he's going to leave the house for good reason. He's going to leave the home to go get supplies. He's going to leave the home to go check out the next site, maybe meet the surveyor, the excavator, make sure things are lining up so that he's got work weeks and months ahead. But only so much, only so much. And he says to himself, I gotta be back on site. That's where I get the building done. She buildeth her home. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The explanation for this building in the wise woman is her wisdom. Her wisdom, it is the wisdom of Jesus Christ himself put into her heart by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is wisdom. Jesus Christ has knowledge, perfect knowledge of God, God the Father, the covenant God, and knowledge of the covenant of God. Jesus Christ has knowledge. His wisdom is that he takes that knowledge and he applies it to a life of seeking God's glory and seeking the good of God's covenant. And that life comes to manifestation in building. That's the wisdom of Jesus Christ. He builds. He became a man so that he could suffer with our sins. And in that he was building the house, the church of God. He builds us, the church of God. He toiled and agonized under the wrath of God. In doing that, he was building. He went to the cross to pay for all of our sins. And in so doing, he was building. He arose from the grave on the third day and ascended up into heaven. And by those acts, he was building. He uses his hands and his heart to build God's house. What's the explanation for that building of Jesus Christ, the work he came to do? It's his wisdom. He has knowledge of God and the covenant of God. And he takes that knowledge and he applies it to a life that seeks God's glory and the good of the covenant. And what is that life? It's the life of building. The explanation for his building is his wisdom. God's salvation of the woman is putting that wisdom in her heart. The wise woman has knowledge, but not mere earthly knowledge. She does have earthly knowledge, but not mere earthly knowledge, so that she knows how to fix a good cake. She knows a good way to teach a child to read. She does have that, but not merely that. Even foolish women have that knowledge. And the wise woman has knowledge, but it's not merely an intellectual knowledge so that she can quote some passages from Scripture and she knows some doctrines and some history. She does, nothing less than that. But even a foolish woman can open up the Bible and read from it and quote passages. The wise woman has true saving knowledge of God and the covenant of God. Knowledge that God works in her as she sits underneath the preaching of the gospel and studies the Bible with others by herself as she teaches the children the scriptures in the home. She's always growing in knowledge, and it's a true saving knowledge of God and His covenant. And now this is the wisdom of the wise woman. She takes that knowledge she has of God and His covenant, and she applies it to a life that will seek that great God's glory and will seek the good of His covenant. And that life, her knowledge being applied, that life is building her own house. She looks at her hands and she looks at the heart that God has given to her, filled by the Holy Spirit, and says, how can I use these for God's glory and for the good of His covenant? By building. That will then keep her, that wisdom. That wisdom will keep her from feeding her carnal appetites and running into sin. That doesn't glorify God. That's not good for the covenant. That wisdom in her will keep her from verbally tearing down other houses or women. That's not good for God's covenant. That's not good for God. That doesn't work for God's glory. That will keep her from the bread of idleness, being idle. That's not for God's glory and for the good of His covenant. This wisdom will keep her united to her husband, fighting with and rebelling against her husband. That's not for God's glory. That's not for the good of the covenant. Wisdom will keep her in the home as much as possible for God's glory, for the good of God's covenant manifested there in the house. Wisdom, the wisdom of Jesus Christ, explains the building of the wise woman. That wisdom will make all the difference in her life. Wisdom. That will allow her faithfully to persevere in her work of building. Wisdom will. You see, a foolish woman does not persevere faithfully in the work of building. She looks at all the laundry again, making all these lunches again, teaching the children the exact same lessons we taught them yesterday, disciplining for the same thing again and again. The foolish woman looks at all this building, this work in the home, and she comes to some conclusions. Number one, I don't get anything out of this. There's no sense of fulfillment. There's no rich gratification and sense of accomplishment. Number two, I don't get recognized for this. I don't want to be a homemaker because I don't get to do my work on center court in front of 20,000 screaming fans, each one holding a sign saying, I'm their number one homemaker. Or I don't get to go into a large conference room for peer reviews and performance evaluations and have a representative of human resources sit down with me at the conference table and go over all my work and analyze it and then congratulate me and give me a bonus. I don't get that. And I don't see success. I don't attain success. The same messes I picked up 10 minutes ago, they're all back again. The same thing we worked on yesterday, it's back today. More of the same discipline. I don't see success. The foolish woman looks at all the work in the home and says, I don't get anything out of this. I don't get recognized for this. I don't see success. And she starts neglecting the work and drifting off and into something that will give her more fleshly satisfaction. And in so doing, she starts pulling down her house. No wisdom. No wisdom. She doesn't have the saving knowledge of God, looking at the glory of God and His covenant. She doesn't see what the wise woman does or refuses to see it. The wise woman does the work of building in the home each day, and she sees Christ. Christ and His work. Did He work on this earth, getting for Himself this warm sense of satisfaction and praise and congratulation and recognition and a sense of success and all kinds of growth? He taught the disciples one thing, and the next day he had to teach them the same thing again and again and again. They didn't learn the lesson. She looks at Christ. She sees Jehovah God and His great glory. She sees the covenant and the saving relationship she has with God, her husband has with God, her children having God. She sees the covenant and the covenant God and the covenant mediator and Savior, Jesus Christ, and says, God is pleased to use me in building this home for His great glory. And God is pleased to use my building for the good of His covenant. What higher purpose could there be? The everlasting covenant of grace made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the faithful, the covenant of grace. I get to serve God's covenant, and the Holy Spirit works in her heart a profound sense of gratitude, and she says, I'm privileged. I was a lost, foolish sinner, and God redeemed me and called me to this service, and now I have the privilege of serving God in His covenant. And then she looks at the folding of laundry and the making of meals over and over again, and she sees what the foolish woman can't see. That all that physical activity is not an end in itself. If it is, then give it up. It's too menial. It's not an end in itself. It serves the spiritual life and strength of the home so that the whole home can be further directed to God and His glory and the service of His covenant. A wise woman sees what a foolish woman cannot or refuses to see, and therefore she's able faithfully to persevere in the work. This is for God and His covenant. She perseveres. Secondly, this wisdom keeps her from discouragement over her weaknesses. The wise woman is not perfect. She sins. Every wise woman does. Sins, falls, has shortcomings and weaknesses. She is not a foolish woman as to her identity, but she will do foolishly as her husband and as her children. So long as she lives on this earth, she will sin. Then, if she wrongly thinks that the building of her home depends upon her and her faithfulness, she's going to get so discouraged and full of fear and discomfort, and she's going to be too hard on herself, and she's going to say, I'm such a terrible wife and a terrible mother, and she's going to be so hard on herself. Unless she has this wisdom that God gives, and it's wisdom to see that the building of the home does not depend upon me, upon God, and upon Jesus Christ. I'm only an instrument, and I will sin. I have weaknesses and shortcomings, but God loves me so much, He gave His only begotten Son to die and take away all of my sins and to sanctify me by the power of His Spirit. And the more I'm sanctified, the more wisdom I have to see it doesn't depend upon me. God be thanked. It does not depend upon me. It depends upon God. I'm only a servant in His hand. This wisdom will keep her from great discouragement over her weaknesses. Thirdly, this wisdom will keep her from discouragement when God takes her out of the home for a season. Wise woman wants to be home, but sometimes God takes her out of the home for a season, and God's wiser than she is, and God is sovereign, and her wisdom will be able to recognize that so that she's kept from discouragement. God may take the woman out of the home for a season. God may make a woman very sick or give her some great injury, and she has to lie in a hospital bed week after week after week, and you know what? She hurts in her heart. Because she can't get her mind off her house. What's going on with my children and my husband? And how's the home doing? That's a burden in her heart. She feels that. Or there may be a loved one who's very sick, and a loved one, he or she, lying on a bed in the ICU of the hospital, and it just so happens the way the family dynamics work out that this woman, this mother, she's the closest relative, and she has to be there every day. She wants to be there. She has to be there every day to sit with a loved one in the hospital week after week, and she leaves the home, and she has a burden in her heart. What about my children and my husband? God may bring something into the life of the woman, some work, some project, and God takes her out of the home, takes her right out for a season so that she's involved in some kind of work, and she feels that in her heart. She wants to be back home a little more. God's taken her out. The wise woman sees that God is far wiser, and He's sovereign, and He may take a woman out of the home for a season. Having that wisdom keeps her then from great discouragement. God takes me out. And if God does, then He will make sure my home is cared for. Wisdom keeps her from great discouragement. Wisdom, that's the explanation of the building of the wise woman. Every wise woman buildeth her house. Wisdom, wisdom. The wisdom of Jesus Christ explains her building. Because the wise builder does not pluck down the home, but builds it, the home will be strong. Under the blessing of God, the wise woman will have a strong house. For in that house are children who rise up and call her blessed and thank her. That's the strength of her house. Her children rise up and call her blessed. In that house she will have a husband. To use another phrase from the chapter we read, Proverbs 31, she has a husband whose heart safely trusts in her. Not worried about his wife. He safely trusts in her. That's the strength of her house. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband's heart safely trusts in her and praises her. In her house there are young men. They're growing up. And ordinarily, they've got their eye on a particular quality in young women when they consider dating and marriage. Not everyone, because, and this is the great heaviness of the woman, sometimes sons are foolish. Sometimes, ordinarily, in that home come forth young men who are wise, and they say, when I look for a young woman to date and marriage, doctrinal confession, that's first to me. We confess the same truth and have unity in the truth. But right next to that, there's another consideration of the wise young man. Will she make or will she break our house? Does she demonstrate already qualities to be a good homemaker in the house? Why does the young man ask that question and look that way? Because he was brought up in a home with a wise woman who built that home so that that home is strong. And that's the strength of the home. The young man grows up looking for what he saw in his own mother. And as she builds, the wise woman, and as the home is strong, so is the church. Where would the church be without strong, wise women who build? We could sit in our living rooms and talk all night about all the ministers God has given to us since 1932. And all the elders in the long hours in consistory room, school board members and school teachers, deacons, all kinds of men God has given to us. Where would the church be, though, without all the wise women of our history who have built their houses, where would the church be? Every wise woman buildeth her house. And so the church also is strong in that way. Then one day the wise woman dies. She's put in a casket. In her cold, limp, weathered, worn hands are gently folded over her bosom or gently placed along her sides. And her house gathers around that casket to look at her and her hands. They look at her hands and they offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God because that's a strong house, and that's the evidence of that strong house. And they thank God for those hands, the heart and those hands. Maybe those hands never touched a framed gold-trimmed certificate that said Employee of the Year. And maybe those hands never touched the hand of a prominent CEO who was extending his hand for a shake, for congratulations and a $1,000 bonus. But what did not those hands touch for us and our sakes? How often did not those hands touch the water in the bathtub and the milk in the bottle to make sure it wasn't too hot so that we would not get burned? How many spatulas and forks and knives and handles and knobs and pans did not those hands so willingly touch for us? How many bruises and scrapes and band-aids did not those hands touch for us? How many times did not those hands direct us to the Bible? And to God, and to church, leading us gently to church, and touch our bottom, our backsides when we were naughty. And how many times did not those now cold, limp hands take our hands and fold them so that in humility and with a contrite heart, we could pray to the only one our mother loved more than us and our father. Her God. Every wise woman buildeth her house, the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And when the wise woman dies, the strong home gathers and thanks God for those hands that by his grace and with his blessing, Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Those hands that with the blessing and grace of God did not pluck down, but built up. God be thanked for the wise woman who buildeth her house. Amen. Let us pray. God our Father, builder of the covenant in Jesus Christ, of the kingdom and of thy church, throughout all ages and into everlasting life. So build up our hearts in the knowledge of thy truth so that we grow in our love for thee and learn to cleave unto thee as we've already prayed, to love thee and cleave unto thee. Build us up in that way and build up our homes and give to us, O God, more and more give to us wise women. And Lord, comfort the women too, to understand and know no woman is perfect. Every woman has shortcomings and failings. No one is perfect. Christ is perfect. He builds perfectly. And through him we have forgiveness and sanctification and growth. Give it, O God, and encourage us. This we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.